Psalm 19. We'll be reading the 14 verses of this psalm. Psalm 19, beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims His handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words, whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. In them He has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals to page 70 in the back section. This is the Belgic Confession of Faith. And this morning we're going to consider Article 2. I'm going to read both Articles 1 and 2 this morning from page 70 in the back of the Psalter. Article 1. We believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that He is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. Article 2. We know Him by two means. First, by the creation, preservation, and government of the universe, which is before our eyes as a most elegant book, wherein all creatures, great and small, are as so many characters leading us to see clearly the invisible things of God, even His everlasting power and divinity, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, verse 20. All which things are sufficient to convince men and leave them without excuse. Second, He makes Himself more clearly and fully known to us by His holy and divine word. That is to say, as far as is necessary for us to know in this life, to His glory and our salvation. This is our confession of faith. Well, we started last time looking at the Belgic Confession, the Word of God summarized there, and we saw that the confession begins with a statement about God. That's where we start our understanding, who He is. We believe in and confess with our mouth one only simple and spiritual being. And this great God is then described in terms of eternality, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, the greatness and the glory of God. After talking about God's greatness, who He is, His majesty, the confession goes on to talk about how we know this God. And we shouldn't miss the significance of that. God has chosen to reveal himself to us. Were it not for that gracious act on God's part that he chose to make himself known, we would know nothing about him. Our religion is based on revelation. Our religion is not based on the knowledge of man, that we have constructed this theological system. But the very heart of our religion is the fact that God has chosen to reveal himself. Even that is a measure of his grace and of his mercy. He chooses to make himself known. And our confession says he makes himself known in two ways. He reveals himself in creation around us, and he reveals himself in his word. We call those general revelation and special revelation. And children, I asked you to maybe have mom and dad read the article of the Belgic Confession ahead of time and try to guess what text we would use for the day. And I think if you did that, you probably would guess Psalm 19. Because it's a psalm that so beautifully puts together these two revelations of God. In fact, liberal scholars who want to try to divide up the psalms in a different way say that, you know, really, this is two different psalms, two separate psalms. One speaks about the world that God has created, and another psalm speaks about his word. But they miss the fact that what unites the first and second half of this psalm is that both are God's revelation. Both are God making himself known to us. Psalm 19 is not two different psalms. It is one unified psalm about God's world and about God's word. God chooses to make himself known in what we call general revelation. The psalmist begins, "The heavens declare the glory of God." Creation is a story about God. Creation, when properly studied, will bring us to a greater appreciation of God. The heavens declare his glory. Creation does not declare the wisdom of man. Creation does not declare an ungodly evolutionary process. Creation does not declare simply survival of the fittest. Creation declares God and his glory. That's the story we read. That's the revelation around us. And when studied properly, that's what we will see. Creation is a story about God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. The work God has done. The order and structure he has put in creation. We don't talk about the laws of nature. We talk about the laws of God in creation. Children, the seasons keep moving. We have winter and then spring and then summer and then fall and then back to winter again. Can you imagine what it would be like if the seasons didn't always go in order? Maybe you'd have winter for a while and then maybe a little bit of summer and then back to winter again and maybe more winter and more winter, a little bit of summer, never have spring or fall. Oh, that's kind of Northwest Iowa. But can you imagine what it would be like if the seasons didn't rotate like that? They do because that's what God has ordained. Why is it the farmers are back in the field in April? Why is it that in May we see the little sprouts of corn coming up? Because God has put a pattern, a structure in creation. And only because of that structure can man begin the scientific endeavor. One of the principles of science is that things will stay the same. that water will always freeze at 32 degrees. It'll always boil at its boiling point, and it's not going to change. Can you imagine trying to be a scientist when one day one set of rules applied and the next day a different set of rules applied? No, that the skies proclaim God's handiwork, His order, His structure. God has made a cosmos, not a chaos. Chaos is disorder. Chaos is random. Cosmos is structure. It's order. It's pattern. God reveals something of Himself in that general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims His handiwork. And this revelation is a continual revelation. Verse 2, day to day pours out speech, night to night reveals knowledge. God continues to reveal Himself in creation. It's not as if, if we missed it at one point, we'll never get it back again. But creation continues to speak about the glory of God. And when studied properly, it will reveal that glory in the daytime, in the nighttime. Children, you look up at the night sky and you see all those stars. But there's an order there. And there's a structure at night. The stars form certain patterns. Maybe your parents have taught you how to pick out maybe the North Star or maybe the Little Dipper or the Big Dipper. And those stars, every night, form those constellations. Every night, form those same patterns. Oh, they will appear to move across the sky because of rotations and things like that. But the arrangement is always the same. Night speaks of the glory of God. A continual revelation, even in that starry pattern. It's not random. But God has put his fingerprints on the stars to show us something of who He is. It's a continual speech. Day after day, this speech is poured out. Night to night, revealing knowledge. It's a continual speech, and it's a universal speech. Verse 4, their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. God's revelation, His general revelation about Himself in creation, is universal. We can see it here in Northwest Iowa. You can see it if you go to New York. You can see it if you go to Amsterdam. You can see it if you go to Africa. All of creation, everywhere, reveals the glory of God. That's what Romans 1 talked about, that's quoted in our confession and that we read earlier. That God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen in what He has made. God has chosen to reveal Himself, a revelation to everyone, so that all men are without excuse. No one can say God didn't reveal Himself, because creation speaks. It speaks continually. It speaks universally. And it declares the power of God. This picture that the psalmist gives us here about the sun. Think about the sun, children. How bright the sun is. How hot the sun is in the midst of summer. That hot sun bearing down on us. This glorious part of creation. This strongest thing we can imagine for in terms of brightness and heat and power. And the psalmist says, this great thing, God made its house. God made a tent for it to live in. As great and glorious as the sun is, God made a tent where the sun could live. Creation speaks of the power of God, of the majesty of God. He talks about the sun rising at one end of the heavens and its circuit going to the other end of them. Again, speaking from Earth's perspective, the sun appears to travel across the sky. And the psalmist says, and God tells it where to go. God sets its course. God gives it direction. God tells the sun to go from one end to the other. He's the one that directs it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim His handiwork. general revelation speaks about the power, about the majesty, about the glory of God. Speaks continually and speaks universally. And as glorious as that revelation is, as beautiful as it is to look at creation and see the sun and the rain and the plants coming up and the stars at night, to see all of it, as beautiful and wonderful as that is, there is an even more beautiful revelation, more beautiful than creation. And that revelation is found right here. Creation will tell us that God exists. It will speak of his power. It will speak of his glory. But for us to know that this God has a relationship with us, for that we need the Word of God. Our confession says, secondly, he makes himself more clearly and fully known to us by his holy and divine Word. The Word of God, a clearer revelation of who he is and what he does. Even as David writes this psalm, the words that he uses for God change between the first half and the second half. He says in the first half, the heavens declare the glory of God, and that is the general name for God, the Hebrew name El, God in general. But then when we get to the second half of the psalm, starting at verse 7, he doesn't say the law of God is perfect. He says the law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. The commands of the Lord are pure. And he doesn't use the generic word for God, but he uses God's covenant name, God's personal name, the name by which he revealed himself to his people as that God who has a close relationship with them. That is special revelation. Revelation given to us in the Word of God. The psalmist tells us what that Word of God does for us. Verse 7. The law of God is perfect, reviving the soul. The Word of God, what it does for us is it gives us strength. It revives us. It gives us life. As we take it, as we read it, as we feed upon the Word of God, it strengthens us. Maybe sometimes, kids, you've had a morning where you were running late to get to school and you really didn't have time for breakfast. And then at lunchtime, maybe it was something you really didn't like for lunch that day, so you chose to skip lunch. And then by supper time, you're just so hungry and you can't wait to eat whatever mom has made for supper that night. And then she makes one of your favorites and you're eating it all up and you're revived again. You're strengthened again. What the Word of God is like. It strengthens a hungry people. It strengthens those of us who through our day are taxed, are tired, are pulled in all kinds of different directions. And then once again, we feed upon God's Word. And it revives our soul. The Word of God gives us strength. The Word of God gives us wisdom. Verse 7, the testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. True wisdom comes from the Word of God. Now, we can gain knowledge from the world around us, perhaps. But wisdom, an application of knowledge, that comes from God's Word. How to respond to those around us. True wisdom, understanding the life around us. Understanding our relationships. The relationship between husband and wife or parent and child. That wisdom is found in the Word of God. God doesn't make us guess. He doesn't make us wonder what we should be as a husband, what we should be as a wife, what we should be as a parent, as a child, as an employer, as an employee. He tells us. He reveals it to us. And it's the wise who will study the Word of God and take those things in and live out those things in their lives. The Word of God gives wisdom to His people and helps us to understand our place in life. The Word of God gives strength, it gives wisdom, and it gives joy. Verse 8. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments are pure, enlightening the eyes. It is a joy for us to be governed by the Word of God. You know, so often we think of God's law, or law in general, as a negative thing, as that which binds our freedom, which keeps us from doing what we really want to do. But the psalmist says, not so with the law of God. The law of God is that which is rejoicing our hearts. We enjoy it. We love to follow after God. Because we know that following Him is following in the paths of righteousness. This is what the Word of God does for us. It gives joy. It gives delight. It enlightens our eyes. It allows us to go forward day after day. Because God is directing. God is instructing. We are hearing God Himself speak. What the Word of God does, it gives us strength, it gives wisdom, and it gives joy. What the Word of God is, the psalmist describes that as well. What is the Word of God? Verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimony of the Lord is sure. The precepts of the Lord are right. God's Word is perfect. It is sure, it is right. God's Word is trustworthy. You can believe it. It is a perfect authority. It will always, when pursued with the eyes of faith, will always draw us closer to God. It will not drive us away. If you want to have a stronger walk with the Lord, if you're frustrated that your spiritual life is somewhat stagnant, then go back to the Word. Because this is where the truth is. This is where perfection is. This is where surety is. This is where God chooses to speak to His people. It is the perfect Word of God. How could it be less? It is God speaking Himself. The law of the Lord is perfect. The testimonies are sure. The precepts are right. God's Word is perfect. God's Word is enduring. Verse 8. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. God's Word endures. The wisdom that it teaches doesn't change. It is a lasting, enduring record of truth and direction for us. Human wisdom changes. Sometimes it's fun to go back and look at textbooks from years ago and see what was taught in those textbooks. Or I was watching, flipping the channels the other night, I think, and I saw a documentary about atomic weapons and some of you remember Duck and Cover. Remember Duck and Cover when we were afraid of an atomic bomb going off? The response to the radiation was to crawl under your desk and cover your head, as if that would help with the radiation and the fallout. That was the wisdom of man. God's wisdom never changes. The Word of the Lord endures forever. It is always right. It is always true. It never changes. Now, to be sure, the application of that wisdom may change based on the culture that we live in, but the abiding principles never change. We recognize that if we read the law of God. Every Sunday, children, I read the law of God, and it talks about caring for our manservant and our maidservant. I don't suppose many of you have manservants or maidservants. But the principle, the abiding principle continues. The Word of God does not change. It is enduring. It is forever, unlike the wisdom of man. Because man's wisdom seems to always fall short of being enduring and abiding. I can't help but make reference to the fact that today is May 22. We made it through May 21. Some of you know what I'm talking about. There was a suggestion by former Reformed elder that on May 21, at 6 o'clock p.m., the rapture would take place. And he was sure, and if you listen to him talk, he would say, the Word of God guarantees it. But he was simply giving his word. It was the word of man. Oh, and by the way, this same scholar predicted the end of the world back, I believe it was in 94 as well. God's word never fails. God's word endures forever. It is a perfect word, it is a lasting word, it is a precious word. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. The word of God, the laws of God, the precepts of God, more to be desired than gold. It is to be precious to us. And I sometimes wonder, if I was offered all the wealth of the world and all the things around us, if I was offered all the wealth of the world or the Word of God, which would I choose? What is really precious to me? Is the Word of God like gold, desired like gold, even that much fine gold? Or do I treat it casually, something you can take or leave? Well, the Word of God is to be precious to us. More desired than gold, much fine gold, sweeter than honey, than the drippings of the honeycomb. And then finally, the Word of God is useful for us. Verse 12, who can discern his errors? Declare me innocent from hidden faults. The Word of God points out our sin. It points out where we have fallen short of the glory of God. Declare me innocent from hidden faults. And the author is not so much talking about hidden sins, things we do in private, but he's talking about those sins that we have done so often we don't even notice anymore. They are hidden to us because we just always do them. We become comfortable with our sin, casual with our sin. And yet we go to the Word of God once again and we see so clearly how that Word points out our sin. And we pray, God, declare me innocent even from these sins that I do so casually, so without thinking. They're just part of who I am. Declare me innocent. Your Word shows me my guilt. Declare me innocent, O God, from these hidden sins. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. From these willful sins, where I know what the Word of God says, and I clearly know I'm doing what's wrong. Lord God, keep me from that. Your Word is a corrective for me. It helps me to walk in your paths, leads me in the way of righteousness. From these hidden faults, from these presumptuous sins, from all that I do, the Word of God is useful for us. Because in pointing out our sin, it drives us to the answer to our sin. And that's where David ends, at the very end of this psalm. Let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Yes, God is a creator God, powerful and majestic. He is also a redeemer God, redeeming fallen people. For those who read his law, his testimony, his precepts, who see their hidden faults, who see their presumptuous sins, and say, who am I? What can I do? I am undone. God provides that most glorious way of escape in his Son, Jesus Christ, our rock, our Redeemer. Creation will never tell you that. But the Word of God from beginning to end reveals Jesus Christ and his work of redemption. If you are here this morning and this word has pierced your heart, has pierced your soul, and you see your hidden faults, and you see your presumptuous sins, and I declare to you also Jesus Christ and what he has done, how he came to pay the price for fallen sinners. And for all who recognize him, for all who embrace him, this psalm becomes our psalm. He is our Lord, our rock, our Redeemer. God has chosen to reveal himself. God has made himself known gloriously in creation around us. The heavens declare the glory of God. But we don't stop our inquiry there. We go on and see his word. Not only God's world, but also his word. A word that tells us he is a personal God, a covenant God, a God who has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Redeemer. Oh, may God make us good students of his revelation. Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you and praise you for the glory that we see around us. We recognize that creation speaks your story. Help us, O God, who are engaged in the study of that world, to recognize that you yourself are being revealed there. And Lord, for all of us who want to know you more, make us good students of your word. And help us to see the glories of Jesus Christ. Oh, we know that your law will point out our sin to us. But may that not drive us to despair, but rather drive us to the foot of the cross, where you have provided the most excellent redemption from all of our sins. Lord God, thank you. Thank you for choosing to create and for choosing to reveal yourself as creator and as redeemer. Accept our praise. For Jesus' sake, amen.